This is Radio Reverb, the Brighton Business Show on 97.2 FM. And this is the April Business Show. And it's a different way of doing it because of the current situation. We are currently sat in the comfort of our own homes, aren't we, Lisa?
We certainly are, yes.
My co-host, Lisa Moore, is joining me as always today. And we've got a fantastic show lined up for you today. We are interviewing three awesome people. We have Andy Smith, who is a personal trainer and the founder of Pro Fitness Academy. We have me, Elverson, who runs the Vlog Academy. And we have Simon Cleminger, who is the founder of Hey Girl. And we're going to be chatting to them about their businesses and how they are adapting in the current climate, because it's a very, very important time for businesses, particularly small businesses. With the current situation, I certainly have been impacted by where we find ourselves right now. And I just really wanted to take a few moments to talk to you, Lisa, about that. How have you found what's happened has impacted your business?
Hugely, actually, because I have a fitness studio that I run. So I'm no longer allowed to visit the fitness studio. So I have completely switched to running all of my classes and personal training and small groups via Zoom, via this app that we're using today. And I have to convert my lounge every morning and put my lights up and get everybody on. But to be honest, it's been going really, really well. And I've signed up new clients.
Fantastic. That's so great to hear. And you find it's adapted well to online, because obviously a lot of fitness programs are run online, aren't they? And people follow them in the lounge. People are following Joe Wicks every day at 9 o'clock, aren't they?
Yeah, I've started using hashtag I am not Joe Wicks. But no, actually the feedback that I've had from my clients is they are so grateful that I'm still doing it. It gives them structure to their day. It gives them focus. And what's interesting is that they're doing more classes now. So they're coming in much more regularly. The sessions are busier than they have been. And I've even had new, you know, my old clients that have left me years ago have started to come back in as well.
So great to hear.
It's challenging. There's a lot more admin involved, emailing people and all that sort of stuff and making sure everybody knows when it is. But it's worked. It's worked.
And what about the other arms to your business? So you have, obviously, there's Fit for More, but you have the Athena Network as well.
Yeah, the Athena Network's been a bit more challenging because obviously that's face-to-face lunchtime meetings. But again, we've taken all of our meetings online via Zoom, and I've run probably about four different meetings now. And I love this breakout rooms that is available in the Zoom app, which actually... Again, feedback from people is that's working almost better than when they go to like an open networking event, because you can put two, three or four people into a room together and they're having much better, open, more focused conversations than if they were in a room where there was distractions and noise and people. So that's good. And we've sort of opened up the network so that people can, if you're a member, you can visit other groups throughout the country, you know, and there's no visitor fee, which there used to be. So people are getting definite benefits from being part of that. And then I suppose the other side of my business is Inspiring Talks Brighton. I ran that last month, again on Zoom. It was a quieter meeting, but what was amazing was one of our speakers, his mum lives in Singapore. She wouldn't have been able to fly to Brighton, but via Zoom, she was able to log in and listen to her son give his speech. So it was amazing.
That is fantastic that so much opportunity is opening up as a result of this. And I'm very excited and honoured that I'm going to be speaking at the next event next Thursday, 16th of April. I'm going to be doing a talk around storytelling and your story and how you can use this time to think about your legacy. So I'm really excited about that. And for me, my business kind of really kind of took off last year in terms of face-to-face delivery in the corporate world. And I had my whole year mapped out, lots of things booked, and they've all been cancelled. So, and with no view to moving those online. Now, luckily, one part of my business is also an online business. I run online speaker boot camps. I deliver TEDx courses. And so therefore, my adaptation isn't so stark. I can just focus on the online element of what I do. And also, it's a huge opportunity with virtual speaking because, you know, there's podcast interviews people can do. There's, you know, webinars people can deliver, virtual training sessions. More virtual speaking opportunities are coming up. Guest expert sessions, all of those things. And I help people with that anyway. So I'm currently actually putting something together to help people become virtual speakers and ace those mediums. So adaptation, I think I've seen loads of people adapting, and I love the fact that people are adapting. It's just so great to see. Just one example of that, up the road, there's a farm called Tully's. Have you heard of that? Now, in 2014, they were a farm shop and they stopped being a farm shop to focus on events. They do Halloween, big Halloween events. They do a maze that people pay. And of course, they can't do that anymore. So what they've done is they've created a drive-through grocery store. So you go up, you place your order through a window, you go and park, they pack it all for you into your boot, and you don't need to touch anybody or anything, and then you drive off. And that's how they've innovated in this time, and they're going great guns. So I think
it's amazing to see, isn't it, how many businesses have been creative and how people are supporting local businesses as well.
Yes, which is really, really important. I've been doing that like massively, as much as possible, supporting the local butchers in the high street, you know, the local grocers, and really helping them to keep going in this time. And, you know, anybody that's listening who might be struggling, I just really want to give the message to you that you can adapt and you can evolve. And the whole point of running a business is to evolve and learn anyway. And so right now, seek the opportunities. Seek the opportunities that are out there for you, the versatility that can come from delivering stuff online, because it's there for you and people still need what you have. That's the other thing that I wanted to say. Do you agree, Lise?
I definitely agree. And I think there is a little bit of nervousness and people are a bit worried about selling in this current climate. And I have, you know, there's been some nasty things going around, people being mean if somebody's trying to sell something. But you know, small businesses and business in general, we've got to keep going. People have to buy and people have to sell, because otherwise the economy won't be there. So if it's done with authenticity, it's absolutely fine. It's important to keep going, and we all need to keep going.
Yeah, do that for the economy, you know, keep going. And people do still need what you have, you know. That's you may need to adapt it, you may need to align it to a new issue or challenge, but they still need what you have. So you're listening to 97.2 FM. This is the Brighton Business Show. And now I'm going to move on to my first guest. Let me do it. Which is Andy Smith. Hey, Andy.
Hey, how's it going?
Really well. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's really great to have you on. When I got the information through about you, Andy, I was really, really, I'm all about stories and storytelling, and I really detected a fantastic story from where you've been and the journey that you've been on and what you're actually doing now. So it'd be great to kick off by finding a little bit about that, if possible.
Yeah, so what I do essentially is I own an academy that delivers academic and vocational qualifications in health and fitness. So whether you want to be a personal trainer, a fitness instructor, a Pilates instructor, I will facilitate those qualifications through my contracted team of assessors and lecturers and IQAs and EQAs. And we'll go in and we'll work in colleges and health clubs and fitness facilities to help produce the next generation of top health and fitness professionals. But yeah, it's been an interesting journey getting it to that point. And it, you know, the point it's at now is far from where it's going to be in the next year, because we're constantly developing week on week. But yeah, where it all started for me, so I come from a sports background, in particular football. I used to be a professional footballer. I played for Crystal Palace, and then I suffered a kind of career-ending injury, which forced me out of competitive sport when I slipped multiple discs in my spine. And through that period, I had to go to, you know, major rehabilitation procedures, both physically, physiologically, and more important, mentally. It put me into some pretty dark times in terms of depression, anxiety, and all sorts of other personal battles. When I was playing sport, like academia and intellect as such would be considered something that I was almost inept in to most of the people I surrounded myself with. But when I came out of sport, I was lucky enough to have a pretty strong support network of family and friends who pushed me to go and pursue other avenues. So I went up to university, did my degree, did my master's, did my teaching qualifications, assessor's qualifications, IQA qualifications, and then worked out how I could write up my own syllabuses. So I think it was when I came out of university, I went and did a short course in sports therapy, sports massage. And it was a week intensive course for people that were postgraduates. It was a 5-day intensive course, which had, you know, huge amounts of anatomy and physiology and biomechanics in, but because I came from a sports science background, I wasn't able to do it in 5 days. And I worked out how this guy was doing it. And it was £2,000 per person to run this course. And there was 30 people on this course, and he was doing it over 5 days. And I was like, hang on a minute, this guy's making 60 grand from a week's course. How is he doing this? And I want a slice of that pie. So essentially I went to do research on it. And I went, okay. So I've got the prerequisites in terms of my sports science background, biomedical background, etc. And I went, okay, so I got to get my teaching qualification. So I went and got my teacher's qualification. Now I had to get my assessor's qualification. So I went and did that. And then I had to do my quality assurance qualifications. So I went and did those. And then I had to write up my own academic and vocational materials. So I started writing materials on physiology, anatomy, biomechanics, all sorts of scientific subject matters. And then had them put in to be processed by my field's governing body. So through VTCT, who are one of the governing providers, I had it accredited through there. So becoming nationally accredited. And now we are internationally accredited. So I write my own modules, my own syllabuses to be pushed across the world. And now anyone that does my courses will be internationally certified to work in any gym, any fitness facility, any college across the globe. So that's where we're getting it to now, which is super exciting. So that's where I'm in terms of Pro Fitness Academy, which you can go on to check out some of our courses if you're interested in the health and fitness industry. But over the last year, what I've really found passion in is the work I do within the communities. So I own Pro Fitness Academy in the community, where we go into communities of disprivilege or communities that are neglected somewhat, and we will offer free food services, we will offer free fitness services. I will write up bespoke level one qualifications to inspire people to get into education and potentially push themselves further onto some of my level three qualifications and my level four qualifications to inspire new career avenues to help improve employment opportunities. So this was all done through work I did through networking. So I've been a personal trainer for the last 4 or 5 years. I've worked at different health clubs and done private stuff. But as a personal trainer, and as Lisa will know, it's like a huge and amazing networking opportunity where you get to meet some really amazing and truly inspiring people. And through that, I've met business partners. I've met people who wanted to help me and help kind of send and promote the message that we're trying to get out there. So I did some work from Open Doors. Now, Open Doors is a housing association company which goes in and delivers food to residents who may be in need or struggling financially or whatever. And we'll go in there and we'll deliver these packages. And I got a huge sense of, like, you know, self-worth from doing that and helping these people, which was great. And I was like, you know, through the work I'm doing with my own academy, through the work I'm doing for my own fitness facilitation, I can make this so much more than what they're offering. So I started Pro Fitness in the community because I wanted to give more, and I got so much excitement from doing that. So I now do work in the community where we do work with Fair Share, and we do give out food facilitation, but also I give out free educational courses. I subcontract people like doctors, dietitians, psychologists, personal trainers, motivational speakers, to come on down to educate and motivate the communities to get in and do more, to be more, to see and say more. So we do that, which is amazing. I do work with Google, so I have them as a contractor. They come down and run cybersecurity. So at the moment, we're doing work with the elderly. So we'll talk about how they can manage and kind of stay away from getting conned online. We'll do courses on how to set up your CVs, how to improve employment opportunities. And I've had this opportunity through working, again, networking. So someone I work with is Chris Henry. He's a counsellor in Brian Hove. And I do work with MP Peter Kyle. So he's offered, you know, I've been brought up to Parliament and talked in, you know, Parliament over the last couple of months about how we can help improve the kind of community networks and outreach work, which has been really, really exciting. So, yeah, what we're doing now as well in this current climate, as obviously we're talking about how COVID-19 has really affected us all, is I was running an amazing project at the Methodist Church in Hove in association with the Food and Friendship Group, and they were giving out free food facilitation there. And I was coming down to work with the residents who were majority based 60, 70 plus, some of them over 100, which is amazing. And we were giving out free fitness workshops, you know, chair-based exercises, helping improve circulation, etc., which was awesome. But right now, because they've obviously been forced into isolation, we're doing a lot of it through Zoom, like we're doing this interview here today. So I will bring in people to come and do talks, like I just mentioned. So we'll have their carers. So we're doing work in all these care homes across the South, and we'll get the residents to write in questions to their carers, whether it be, so we'll say we have a professional coming in to talk on health. So I might subcontract a doctor to work for me, and then all the carers will take the questions from the residents, and it might be on diabetes, it might be improving the immune system or whatever. They would get sent to my doctor working for me. He will then run the Zoom conference to the 20 residents in this particular care home saying, you know, Gladys in, you know, apartment 7 has a question on how I can improve my immune system or, you know, dealing with diabetes or whatever. And then they will answer that in front of them, giving that rapport, which is all important. So it's like a Q&A session, which would then go on to the next week working with a nutritionist or a psychologist or a personal trainer. So that's how we kind of continue to facilitate what we're doing in relation with the guys who will come down and offer the food packages as well. So Food and Friendship Group, which are amazing, they're still delivering packages to care homes and residents, because these people are the people who are really at risk. You know, I'm still in my 20s, my immune system's really strong, I feel more than confident that I'll be okay. It's not about me, it's about them and how we can help kind of protect and facilitate these opportunities going forward. So that's kind of a brief snippet on what I do and how we're trying to help in this time of crisis.
Wow. What a story. There's lots of things I wanted to touch on there, but I just want to kind of go back to the point in your story where you were forced out of your profession due to an injury and you experienced some dark times. And the reason why I kind of want to bring this up, we have spoken about mental health. Obviously, mental health is everywhere. It's now. It's all the time. But particularly now, given the changes that we are experiencing, there will be a lot of people struggling, will be a lot of people going through dark times because they are alone, because they have lost business, whatever it might be. What was, for you, what was the turning point there? So when I help my clients with their stories, there's something that kind of leads up to a pit moment. There's a kind of like a breaking point, or there's a moment that they actually remember where they made a decision or made a choice to do something different. What do you remember when that was for you?
I think it's hard. I think, to be honest, depression, anxiety, mental health is a very complex subject matter. I think I probably still battle with it to an extent. The reality is, I feel like I never really quite fulfilled my potential in terms of what I'd always worked for as a child and becoming an athlete, being a sportsman. And my therapist would tell me I have a competitive complex where I have to be the best at whatever I do. So when I came out of professional sport, I made a decision that I would kind of shut myself off from that, which, you know, maybe is controversial, but I don't watch football anymore. I don't necessarily watch all that much sport because I'm not a spectator. I feel like I've always been a performer, I've always been a doer. So for me, it's how I can take my purpose, take my productivity and put it into my passion. So it's about finding another passion. Mm. For me, that was in my business, you know. Mm. So I still battle with, you know, a certain amount of mental health. I think most of us do. Not all of us are liberated enough to talk about it or say or be honest about it. But I think it's only last year that I came off antidepressants for the first time. But my levels of mental health have been quite bad. You know, I've attempted suicide, but I'm honest about all of those because it's ultimately sculpted and molded me into the man I am today. And right now I feel I'm in a position where I can help a lot of people by being honest and open about my story. Mm-hmm. Because there's plenty of people out there who, you know, have a dream, you know, and their dreams often as a child revolve around being a sportsman, being an actor, an actress, a movie star, a rock star. But those very rarely come to fruition. So it's not about, you know, could I have done it? Should I have done it? Why aren't I doing it? It's about what are you going to do now? So for me, it's like, rather than trying to consistently dwell in what could have been or what should have been, it's about how I can do what I'm doing now to the best of my ability and really make a difference in my community and hopefully further afield.
Fantastic. That's just reminded me of a model of change that's called Bridges Transitions, where through any type of change, in order to move through to something new, we have to let go. We have to let go of what was. And I think that's where people talk about the change curve a lot of the times. Actually, I like this different model because it's you know, when you actually let go of something, then you have the ability to look at the world differently and look at what you can bring with you to the new world. So, for example, with you, you had a career in sport, but you could have stayed dwelling on that, but you chose to let that go and play to your strengths and look and adapt and look for something new.
Yeah, I think sometimes it is letting go, and letting go is certainly most positive for your psychological state of mind, but to an extent you've got to take some of the pain, I feel like, from those previous experiences and put them into productivity. There's no way I would have done what I'm doing now or going to go on to do what I'm going to do without utilizing the pain, the heartbreak, the headaches from what I've experienced in other avenues of my life, whether that be through relationships, whether that be through sports careers or, you know, personal anguish. I use that. Mm-hmm. I certainly use that. Maybe it's not the healthiest way to go about it, but ultimately what I use.
Yeah.
It's going to help me.
Adversity to asset.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And a lot of people do that because they have passion around that because of what they went through. And I totally agree. It's letting go in order to be able to move forward, but using that experience to help other people. Very much so, which is incredibly inspiring. And it's so great to hear what you're doing now, even, you know, with everything you're doing in the community and doing that online. It's just so great to hear how you're supporting people within our communities. Is it what communities is it in the Brighton and Hove area, Lewis?
I'm actually fortunate enough to work across the whole of the United Kingdom now, right into different communities. Just finished a project up in Croydon, but at the moment, yes, we're working in Hove at the moment. So like I said, I've just finished, well, I was halfway through a project working at the Methodist Church in Hove in association with the Food and Friendship Group. And now we just had to compile our contingency plans to put together this online practice, which is really challenging working with the elderly generation who obviously aren't quite as on point in relation to how we can set up the whole Zoom conference, the Skype calls, etc. But we're doing what we can because it needs to be put in place. And it's amazing because Peter Carr's been really advocating it, and you might have seen him on Newsnight or This Morning Show talking about how we're going to really help target the elderly generation and prevent them getting neglected in this time of challenge. And this project that I'm putting together with my team is definitely aiming to combat that as much as we can. I think the food facilitation is amazing, and there's lots of people giving out food. We're giving out fitness, we're giving out education, we're giving out qualifications. So, you know, the more we can give, the more we can get, essentially. And I certainly get a lot of pride from helping these people. And let's see how we can continue it.
Yeah, it's incredibly inspiring. Thank you for sharing that. So, Andy, what's coming up for you that people can maybe get involved in if they're interested in what you have to offer and what you're doing?
So yeah, like I've mentioned, I do own the academy at profitnessacademy.com. You can check out some of our qualifications and our certifications. So if anyone's interested in working in the fitness industry, like I said, for me, working in the fitness industry has been the backbone to some of my success. Being a personal trainer, being a fitness instructor is certainly a truly rewarding career path. So if anyone's interested in that, they can come on down to my website and you can check out what we're doing there. Also, if you want to go on to profitnessacademyinthecommunity.com, you can check out some of the work we're doing in the community. Sometimes we do open up the opportunity for people to volunteer and work with us on some of the projects we're doing. I mean, the next 12 months for me are going to be pretty big. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening. We're going to be opening up gyms. We're going to be starting the clothing line, the supplement brand. Everything's kind of coming to fruition. And it'd be interesting if we had another interview in 12 months' time to see exactly where things are.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that. Why not?
Thank you so much for coming on the show. You are listening to 97.2 FM, the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb. And my next guest is a lady who is the founder of the Blog Academy, and her name is Mee Elverson. Welcome, Mee, to the Brighton Business Show.
Thank you so much for having me. Hello.
How are you today?
I'm actually really good. I'm good. I'm at good health. I'm in good spirits.
That's really great to hear. So, Mee, you are going to be talking about something that a lot of people are going to need right now. We're going to move on to that in a minute. But before we do that, I'd really like to just find out a little bit more about you, your business, and the journey that led you to where you are today.
Okay, well, my background, well, I was born in Sweden, and I've lived almost half of my life abroad now, so I feel... I've been abroad longer almost than I've been a Swede. I'm still a Swede. My career started in Sweden. I went to film school and I went straight into film production, quite high-end film production. I worked on the kind of commercials you see in the movie theater before the films start that were shot in Hollywood and all over the world. So I was managing big teams, a lot of big budgets. Quite a lot of time pressure there, and I did that for quite a few years, and then I moved to New York and I lived there for a while, and finally I ended up in London. So my journey through film production was amazing and really exciting, but it was high pressure and I pretty much burnt out and I had to just find myself again. And then when I moved to London, eventually I started a family. So I had a baby and there was just no way I wanted to go back into film production again at the same level, because I just didn't want that kind of pressure. I wanted to look after my baby and eventually, you know, take him to school and pick him up from school myself. So I had to kind of get my head around that. And it was at a time when a lot of people needed promotional videos for their website, which was a completely new thing at that time, because all film and video production had been so expensive previously. You needed a team. You could only show it on television. We didn't have web video in the same way, but all of a sudden it opened up. And I thought, hang on a minute, this doesn't have to be too complicated. Maybe I can do this. And I was actually given a very small camera, not much bigger than a smartphone now, which was a digital HD camera by a friend from New York. And I started shooting promotional videos for some local mums while I had my baby and managed that, and they loved it and I loved it, and I edited the video on my laptop, which meant that I could do it all in my own time. I didn't have to go anywhere. I could work from home and still be a mum. So it was an amazing opportunity. But what I realized was that these local small businesses, because obviously I had to go back a bit to smaller businesses before I had established myself, they didn't have any experience in video production. So when I put them in front of the camera, they had no idea what to do. And many of them didn't even know, you know, what their brand message was or their own brand story or what the purpose of the video really was. So I thought this is going to take a lot of time for me to put in place for them if it's going to have an effective result. And they won't be able to afford that. So either have to step back up in higher end production with higher budgets, which I really didn't want to do. Or I thought I'm going to have to teach them to do it themselves on their smartphone, because we did have smartphones with high-end video cameras, all of us in our pocket all of a sudden. And it was at the time when YouTube started growing and a lot of people were starting to make good money from YouTube. But I just saw this amazing opportunity there for people to go out on YouTube with short videos and market themselves and get more visible, even if they didn't become YouTubers as such and made their money from, you know, advertising and YouTube, they could get more visible online. So the Vlog Academy was born. And I held my first workshop. I'd never taught anything. My parents are both teachers, but I'd never wanted to go into teaching, probably for that reason. And I decided to hold a workshop. I was part of the Mumpreneurs Networking Club in Brighton, which is amazing, especially as a mum. So I'm forever grateful to them. And I went to a networking meeting. And I know I had one of those lists, you know, when you print a list on Excel, you get about 30 boxes. And everyone who was interested in doing my training course, my first pilot test of my vlog training, I would take their name and number. And I thought, this is ridiculous. It's 30 people. I'm going to get two if I'm lucky. And the list was full by the end of the networking meeting. There was such an interest in learning how to do your own smartphone videos. So I run the course and I absolutely loved it. And the people who were there, they absolutely loved it too. And after that, I just thought, this is amazing. I can do this and people really need this. So it's a win-win situation. And yeah, so the Vlog Academy continued. And then I started doing my first online courses. And it eventually kind of developed. So I went back into a bit higher production. So we kind of now have two departments. One is the training department, which has both online training and workshops. At the moment, obviously, we're not doing any workshops at all. It's all online. And the other part is production for those who still want professional videos or they don't want to do it themselves. Or a combination where they can get a bit of training, get some professional videos, and then drip feed videos out over time, mixed with their own productions. So that's the Vlog Academy. That's my story. And here we are.
Fantastic. Really, really great. There was a lot of things that I heard there that kind of resonated with me, actually, because obviously I had a completely different career to you. But the pivotal moment for me was becoming a mum. For me, I actually just completely lost my confidence. I thought I'd lost all my skills. But it was really great to hear that, you know, you just utilized your skills in a different way. You adapted and then found an audience, which I think a lot of people starting out, they find that really tricky to find where these people are. And it's really great to hear that you did that in terms of the people that you were hanging around with, the people that you were kind of networking with. They were your people. And networking has come up quite a lot already in today's show with Andy talking about how he's found opportunities through networking. And still, it's really, really important to continue to do that. Now, online more than ever, you know, Lisa, I'll just bring you in, Lisa. You know, just want to touch on that point about networking. Why is it not?
That's it, I'm there. I'm here.
About finding opportunities for business through networking.
Yeah. I think, I've spoken to some of my members who are a bit nervous about, you know, what's the point? Nobody's buying. And as I said at the beginning, but what's really interesting to see is the ones that are adapting their business. A particular lady I think of is a photographer who was doing brand photography. So of course that was going out with people and taking photos. And at one point she was in tears going, that's it, I'm going to close the business, it's not working. And then I think once she cried, she got it out of her system, where, hang on a minute, I've got all these images at home, I've got stock images, I can talk to my clients and find out a bit more about their branding and their colours and their images. What images can I take at home to then send out to them? And, you know, networking, I think, now is more important than it was before we had lockdown. You've got to keep those relationships going. You've got to build those relationships. It's not about getting referrals so much with the networking. It's about building those strategic alliances, getting the support, building that support network, and remaining visible.
Yeah,
absolutely, remaining visible.
Yeah, thanks, Lee. Yeah, so it's a really good point. So me, what about now then? So if you say you've got the different elements to your business, you've got the high-end sort of production and then the courses, what are you talking about now? What's important now in terms of your business and how you can help people?
Well, you mentioned it a couple of times already. I think it's adaptability. And I think human beings from the start, we are here because human beings have kept adapting to the situations over all these years we've been around on this planet. And I think as an entrepreneur, if you're a solopreneur or if you're a big time, you know, corporate business owner, whatever, you do need to keep being adaptable to the climate and different situations, and you've got to be creative about it. And if you can do that, then you are very likely to survive. And at the moment, I mean, this is what I've been telling people to do for years, right? To take their business online as much as possible so they can cut down on their time they're spending going out there, you know. And so many people and businesses can do so much online. There are so many opportunities. You just got to have a good think about it. And what always comes first is, what does your audience need? What do they want from you? What is your expertise? What can you share with them? So the photographer is a brilliant example, because the photographer, obviously, even if they have a very long lens, they probably can't go out and take portraits right now, for example. But they have expertise. So, you know, as you said, dig into your stock of photos, take new inside, or share, you know, what people can do themselves. Or share for other photographers or people who want to become photographers. Teach them, you know, do screen recordings, show how a camera works. Dig into your passion and really see, what is that little thing that triggers my excitement? And that's usually where you're going to be able to go out and support other people and be good at it. You're going to have that drive. You're going to, you know, you're going to look great and be great, because you are talking from a place which is deeper down, not just from your strategic brain, but from your heart. And this is when we can actually do fantastic. So just by embracing that, I think people can adapt and keep going. And it's not always, I know a lot of people are struggling at the moment. It's very hard time for a lot of people. But for many, it's not just about surviving now. It's about staying visible. So if you can stay visible, show that you have that expertise or knowledge, or even just inspire people, make people feel good about hearing what you're talking about, then you can stay afloat. And we are going to come out of the other side. We are going to come out of this. And then who are they going to come to when they need someone? They're going to come to the person they've seen showing up, being an expert, being there for them, sharing and being generous, being unselfish, and really supporting, like Andy as well. You're supporting the community now amazingly well. That's fantastic. And that's what we've got to look at the moment, I think.
So how can they use video to do that?
Well, I've been working with film production. I've been trained, obviously. I've been to 3 film schools, and I kept doing it for about 30 years. So it's easy for me to say that. It's easy. I know for a lot of people it isn't that simple, but we've all got these smartphones in our pocket at the moment. Have a look at what other people are doing and just tap into that passion of yours or that expertise of you, whatever it is that you want to share, and forget about the rest. For a start, just do some practices and find your audience. If you belong to a group or networking group, or you're part on Facebook or LinkedIn, wherever you are hanging out, then start trying it out small. don't start big, don't have too big expectations on everything, but start small and start with the simple things. My favorite video, so I break content into different video categories because it makes it easier and you get a better overview. And different video categories work better for different types of businesses and different people and different platforms. So it's really good to know what type of video you are working with. And one of my favorite categories is top tips. And these can be so short, they can be 10 seconds if you want, and you can still share something that is really high value to your viewers, and they will love you for it because you share the top tip and you save them time. So it doesn't have to be a 15-minute demonstration with cuts and edits and graphic design and music and everything perfect. It can be quite short, as long as you know that there's someone out there who will be supported by that video.
Fantastic. That's great. Thank you, Mi. So what do you have at the moment that you maybe a service or an offer that might help our listeners with this?
Yes, I'm really working now to meet people's needs and what they are going through to support them. So I actually have put together a brand new course, which is called Video Communication and Remote Teaching. And it's a beginner's course. It could work for people who have done a fair bit of video as well, but they need to know a bit more about equipment. But it takes you through everything you need, really, from the equipment to the setup. I show exactly how you can set up a light and use a microphone if you want, and just really tailor your message and be just connect in a better way with your viewer to be more feel more comfortable and look more comfortable and relaxed in front of the camera as well. So that's one of my online courses, which is a great start. And then I have a membership group just for women. And I do a lot of live talks and just supporting people with little top tips and other tips at the moment. And something that's grown now is that people want more strategic advice, personal advice. So I do one-to-one coaching online, and we go through a program where we look at their specific brand, where to position themselves, what type of videos and where to get them out. And they do a little training which I call the 5-day blockbuster. So it's video blockbuster, and where they get a task every day, and then I give feedback on the video they send to me. So we look at everything from their setup and the light, audio, but a lot about the way they connect with a viewer as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Mia. That's really, really insightful and a huge help for people getting visible right now. You're listening to the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb. This is Helen Packham and Lisa Moore on 97.2 FM. And I am now going to move on to my final guest of the day, and that is Simon Cleminger. Hello, Simon.
Hello.
Hello, Simon.
I'm unmuted. Now I can do it. I'm unmuted. Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Not too bad.
A little technical thing going on because we are recording this Brighton Business Show virtually, obviously, because we can't get into the wonderful Radio Reverb studios right now, which we love and adore, but we're doing it virtually this month. So, Simon, you are the founder of Hey Girl Magazine. Now, I met you just a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Kick-Ass Women 2.0, wasn't it?
Yeah, before all this crazy stuff happened. It was literally just before, wasn't it? It was the last public event I went to. It was a really great event run by Platform 9 in Hove. And it was called Kick-Ass Women 2.0. And we all went to the pub afterwards. Can you believe that? We went to the pub.
I know. The olden days. Do you remember the times we used to go to pubs and talk to real people and not drink alone?
quite a few G&Ts that night. It's a distant memory now. But anyway, yes. Thank you for coming on the show.
That's so right.
I heard you speak at the event, and I'd been finding out a bit more about you before then. I was really incredibly inspired by you and what you're doing and your story and your mission. So I just first of all love for you to tell the listeners a little bit about Hey Girl, the story of Hey Girl, and why you founded this amazing movement.
Oh, pressure. No pressure then. If you can hear the snoring as well, that's my dog, who's just asleep next to me. So she's snoring away. So I've been a photographer for like 20 years, and I love photography. I love fashion. Started off assisting a big photographer and working in fashion. Really like the energy of photography, really like the energy of fashion, the creativity of it, etc. But all through those years, there was certain things that it used to kind of niggle me, or just kind of that I wasn't quite happy with, but it was the industry, it was the way it was. You just sort of went along with stuff, and that was that. And so sort of over the years, in those days it was film, so you know, there was a lot of money. It cost a lot to sort of do shoots and stuff like that, so there was a lot of big budgets, etc. And then we sort of fast forward to about 5-6 years ago, and I was just mulling it over and was like, oh, I still don't, I just find it so negative. There was, you know, things have changed a lot now, but in those days, fashion was, you know, there's a lot of judgment. There was a lot of like, you must be like this to be cool. You must, you know, I was feeling a lot of pressure, et cetera, as well. And I just thought, you know what, I might just do my own magazine. How hard can it be? And then, so I did. I set it up. Originally, the idea was to kind of, because I work with a lot of models, was to kind of make the magazine about models rather than it be about clothes. I always, you know, love working with people. I love meeting people. I love finding out, like, you know, what they're about and stuff like that. And you sort of do that while you're taking photos. And so I was like, well, let's make this magazine about the models. And so, yeah, I sort of did that. But through very soon after like issue one, I just felt like I wanted to kind of open it out more. I was, you know, working with a lot of different types of people. And I felt that I kind of, it was too restrictive to just be talking about models. And so then I went on to work with actresses, work with dancers, a lot of different types of creative women. And then the way I tend to do it is each issue is kind of evolved, and kind of like, I don't know whether it's just kind of my headspace of just kind of not boredom, but kind of like, oh, what about this? Oh, what about this? Like a bit of like a sparkly magpie guy, if that's a weird real thing. And then I'll go to like to issue three, and then started to work with a lot of different types of people. But while I was doing it, there was still things sort of happening in my mind where I was like, this is positive, but there's still, through this experience of actually doing it, there was parts of it that I still felt that I needed to address. Like, you know, you can't, obviously everyone can tell by my voice, I'm a guy, and the magazine is called Hey Girl, and mostly at that time was women, and there was a kind of elements of like, who am I to say how they should look and which photos should represent them, etc. And that's when in issue three, while I was making it, I just thought, actually, you know what, let's not, I'll take the photos, most of them photos, but I won't choose them. I'll give them to the person that's in the photos and get them to choose whatever they think to represent themselves. So it's kind of like a real sort of freeing sort of energy. And then at the same time, I was like doing a lot of retouching. It's a very sort of normal thing in the industry, is to kind of like, in those days, not so much now, thankfully, but still, you know, you would change this, you'd change that, you'd take out skin, you'd smooth this, you'd move that, blah, blah, blah. And then I just caught myself doing it. And I was like, well, how can you be trying to advocate this really positive magazine, but then you're saying these bumps and lumps and these spots or whatever aren't great, so I'm taking them out as the owner, as the retoucher or whatever. And I was just like, right, no more retouching. So that's gone. And so, yeah, so we fast forward to like issue four. That's when it really found its proper voice. And I put guys in it because I was like, well, I know it's called Hey Girl, but I quite like to have a few guys. And it's quite good to sort of chat to them about equality, empowerment, you know, all the sort of current issues, basically. So yeah,
it's fantastic. I just love the way you're disrupting the industry by giving power back to the photographs. And you know, I think it's not just about the magazine, is it? Because you're actually creating like a platform.
No, well, the dream is to kind of, well, I still am doing it, but because I'm doing most of it on my own and it's self-funded, it's a sort of process, you know, and you can't, without a massive team and a big budget, you can't overnight create this thing where you want to take it. And it's very much me as like, I'll choose the future and then I'll go, right, how can I get there? And like each time I'm like, oh yeah, do this. Oh yeah, do this. So yeah, I tried to, so I've been doing short videos, kind of interviews. I've created a space on the website called Hey Girl Radio, which is, well, I'll take sort of new artists' YouTube video and we'll promote the latest artists. And then also there's some female DJs, so we'll have their mixes sort of in the website. Because what I wanted to create, the way to sort of boil it right down is Hey Girl is an energy, basically. And it's just an energy which is freedom and creativity and love. And just to kind of throw off these sort of constraints of creativity, stress, and just allow people to just play, you know, because at the end of the day, that's such a great energy. And that's where people find something new, because you're playing with one thing and you're like, well, why don't we do it about this, but then use this song or this visuals, or yeah. So it's about creating a platform, really, that's kind of got these really strong authenticity and kind of freedom and love at its heart, but then uses those to kind of explore and to go places and to go, well, let's work with this artist, or let's have someone in this video, or, you know, like I was doing this video of these amazing collective called Superwoman HQ, which is a director and a producer, and I, you know, we're there to sort of do the photos and do the video. And then I was just like, well, why don't you guys interview each other? You know, so I gave them the mic, I stepped back, and they were kind of taking turns to interview each other. And it was a really unique thing, because obviously they knew each other really well, they're great friends, they had a great sort of fun attitude, and it was kind of, it created this real free energy that I hopefully is that everyone can find it quite accessible. So yeah,
I could definitely, it's got a really strong vibe to the brand in terms of the visuals and the ethos and everything. You've done so well in creating that. I really get that really strongly, and anybody, you can go check out the website, because it's, you know, you can really get that.
Yes, we do a plug, heygirlmagazine.com.
yeah, there you go. So what's coming up, Simon? Is it, when's, well, it you, and how is that working?
Yeah, so as you said before, I just done that sort of big live event and was talking and was super nervous and talking in front of 150 women, and it was amazing. It had such great energy, and then boom, you know, the whole big C19s hit, and weirdly I was doing more real stuff that I was really buzzing off. Like I did a gig, Hey Girl Presents, which was a night getting different artists together and was to creating this energy in real life. And so obviously this is hit, and so I didn't want to kind of like just jump straight into live stuff and just be doing, right, yeah, because it's not really what Hey Girl's about, in a way that it has to be really sort of authentic. It has to have a really good soul and a really good mission. And so, to be honest, I kind of stepped back a little bit for the last 2 weeks and just kind of decompressed and kind of like absorbed what's happening, really. But then I've come back to sort of the whole brand and kind of been looking at what we can create in this climate. And so one of the things was, there was talk of doing it in reality, is this thing called the Real Catwalk. This amazing model called Christiane from New York, who goes around the world creating these events where anyone can join in, and they turn the street into a catwalk and they just strut their stuff. And we were going to do one in Brighton in June, but obviously that doesn't look like it's going to happen. So then that's when I thought, well, why don't we try and do it in a virtual format? So the idea at the moment it's sort of, I'm just sorting out the technical side, but the idea is that kind of like anyone can join in. They'll turn their lounge into the catwalk and we'll have like a amazing sort of soundtrack and people can just kind of like have their minute or whatever to strut their stuff, and then we'll go to the next person, it's like a sort of online fashion show, but it's self fashion. Is that a new word? I don't know what it is.
Love it.
But yeah, create this Hey Girl energy of just freedom, you know, because it is, it's this whole climate is very oppressive and it's very, you know, it can sort of spin your head, and I just wanted to kind of give this energy out to people, you know, that's the goal of it. So yeah, that's that one thing. Then also I'm thinking, because I'm in production with the next magazine and I've been debating whether I should wait and get it printed or release it just digitally. But what I'm also going to do is probably going to interview the person that's in the magazine while I'm making the magazine. And so then we can have this sort of live sort of experience and I'll record that. And that's another thing. And then also maybe doing a live gig as well, getting another Better Together to the sequel.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Thanks so much. It's always great hearing, obviously I heard it not very long ago, but hearing again the story of where it all came from, and you know, the plans that you have for the future. And it sounds incredibly exciting and I can't wait to follow along and see what happens next.